Blog Talk Radio.
Elder Mr. Tibbs, y'all why I beat you there, see right here.
And Yahuwah bless you, seed of Israel, the seed royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, the elder, Mr. Kidd. Well, I got a couple of memos just coming in now as we're speaking. So, well, you got to tell this national ordinance on this special edition called Thursday. You can kind of take your time to me glance over through things I'm looking at and see exactly what they got on their agenda as we speak. So, elder, Mr. Kidd, take your time, and you're on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And it looks like among a cast of hundreds of thousands. And in that hundreds of thousands, we have many people that want to hear the words of Yahuwah. Some teach it in their own way. But we learn that what it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, he says, and every spirit that confess not that Yahuwah the Son is come in the flesh is not of Yahuwah. This is the spirit of the anti-Yahuwah. For you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. And we can tell because we have many different teachers out there and everybody have their own version about what they think is right. But when you grab that original book, the King James Version, this is starting on the right path to know that which is given us from the Mighty One through the protocol. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 4 and 5, let's see what that says. 4 says, and Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Yahuwah the Son, and shall deceive many. And this happens quite a bit, mostly in the churches, the street preachers, and people that, I should say, take wrong titles teaching the word of Yahuwah. This is why we're here, help to guide you through these dark times of this type of situations, bad teaching, Christianity. Welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. We have many people say, how can you guys from this ministry get this much from this one book? And we always say it comes from connecting the books, the words of Yahuwah, your health, foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days, and much more. We do all this because you have not. It's information you came to seek. And now you have found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav, that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally not having a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now we do have a Sabbath class. The current time for the top part of Sabbath is 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part, the Sabbath, is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. And the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To get there, on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, you will see a big lion. And under the line, you'll see tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu. You'll still see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms. Chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27. Verse number 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also, for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check our calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends, and that also includes myself, in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. To get there, just enter three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Click the red live button as soon as it disappears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses. The first that we have is tribeyada@gmail.com. Just to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other number we have is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone but six anointed accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. And also, by calling the same number, you can order what we have known by our members as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact us here by email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As most of us know, he's pretty busy with the WCC, the New York station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos. And besides that, now even the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, you can always catch our entire recorded show after 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words to do this, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during the normal broadcast, we are simultaneously transmitting our program on Paltalk. On Paltalk, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. And you'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing a shotgun. During that time, we'll be taking no comments off topics or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find that Broad Talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. Well, remember, when we are given the scriptures to speak by the seer, those of us that read, always be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we are on an international broadcast with hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah, keeping in mind that we don't want the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, which 33 says, "For Yahuwah is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all covenants of the saints." So we have to keep these scriptures in mind. But when you're trying to win that bump the gums contest, you lose all of Yahuwah's glory, which is said unto you. You have to remember, we know Yahuwah's word from rehearsing the righteous act. So at this time, so we can start that righteous act, we'll turn our program over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, that's excellent. Again, on your part, no doubt about it, that's excellent. And we'll get ready to take out a special edition call Thursday evening and give a young line a little time to pull out that dumb Bible dictionary on page 86 and some things I want to be read by. We're doing a little talking. That dumb Bible dictionary you got, compact Bible dictionary on page 86. If some people want to, we're going to talk about the King James Version Bible, we want to see how that Bible came into existence and what we have to know to know. We'll take care of that shortly. So Yahweh, I'll be with you all. There's a special edition called Thursday evening. Remember one thing, everything is back to normal again, but the count is on for the next feast day, but everything is regularly now. So we'll be back on airways again tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. All Friday class at 7:30. All feast days class at 7:30, but regular days, it's 6 o'clock. Got it? Good. All right, we're going to see if we find the young lion and see who all on the network and bring him in. And while he take a look at that Zalmer's Bible Dictionary, Compact Bible Dictionary, but we're going to see who all will be on stage for the nice episode, part number 99. So let's see what's going on. So when you meet your brother, Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yada Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp One, young lion, Lord, little roar in that microphone, and that's a good thing. And with confidence, too. That's a great thing. So when you're getting that microphone, just don't be loud and saying nothing, but you got to have confidence in this thing. So we're going to give you all the tools it is to show you when you roar loud this thing, but you got to have confidence. Brother Micaiah Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp One. Yahweh beat you there, C. Roy.
Yahweh bless you, C. Israel. Oh, C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there. Brother Micaiah, let's swing down and see who all this will be in the room on the stage for the nice episode. And we're going to see if we find Mother D.F. Israel. She said, I'm on stage. I'm coming to on stage. And I'll be on stage with my skates on early. And that's what we like. Mother D.F. Israel. Tribe of Yahdah Judah. One of the mothers out of Camp One. Mother E. Mother Z. Mother D.F. Israel. Let's see if she's ready to come on stage and get in that microphone. Mother D.F. Israel. Tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh bid you that scene for you.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, there, Mother D.F. Israel. Excellent. Before we get anything going on, Brother Micaiah, I'd like to read some things out of the Compact Bible Dictionary, because we got a lot of preachers, you know, and they will boast about some things that they need to know. See, our job is to meet you where you're at. A lot of big preachers, ministers, you know, everybody has a song, and they, a lot of them don't understand they've been mistaught, but a lot of them do. But once they have the right spirit, we can help those that got the right spirit. That's the key. See, we got brothers in the class. We got some got the right spirit. Like Brother J. Israel, he got the right spirit. If we just can get him, you know, to just hold back on your compacts. And you got brothers in the class that don't have the right spirit. You know, and you can tell their spirit ain't right. If we can tell when your spirit right, what we can do for you. So, Brother Micaiah, before we get anything going, I want to find out some things about on page 86. I want to hear the breakdown on the King James Bible. How did it came in existence? And you will see on page 86 out of your Zalmer Bible Dictionary, it's going to give you the breakdown on this King James Bible, exactly how it came into existence. And we're going to talk about the propaganda that they have accused King James of being something that he's not. And you know, like the booger bear tactics. And that's the reason they do so many things with other books, because they'll say King James was a man of a homosexual and everything else. But that's not true. That's propaganda. This man had one wife and eight babies by one old Israelite woman from the tribe of Judah. One woman, eight babies. King James had it. And King James from the tribe of Zora. Judah had twin boys. He had one named Perez and Zora. And that's the one King James descended from. So all this information, and that's why we have to hear the good stories that's on the table. And as a seer of Israel, we have to make sure the elders be clear on how to give proper medicine to those that, wherever they're at, meet them where they're at and give them proper information. And we'll give you the breakdown after we read about how did the King James Bible came into existence. So, Brother McCoy, take your time in front of this national audience, over 400,000 on the international side, and look on page 86 and pick it up where it says King James Version, and you take it from there, and we all will read together. Come on, sir.
Okay, reading from the Compact Bible Dictionary, Zonder Version, page 86, King James Version. When Elizabeth died in 1603, the crown passed to James I, who had been king of Scotland for 37 years as James IV, several months after he ascended the throne of England. He authorized a new translation of the Bible to replace the bishop's Bible.
Stop right there. He authorized to replace the bishop's Bible. Elder Mr. Tibbs, give me the definition of the word called authorized. What that word means, authorized. Let's see what that word means, and let's piggyback this. But one thing about it, the Six Anointing Camps, we know our mission is to deal with this Bible. Matter of fact, I'll hold that point. Mother D.F. Israel, in the second book of Corinthians, yeah, Mother D.F. Israel, it's a verse that I need to put on the table. In the second book of Corinthians, it's something I want to put on the table. What do it say that we can read in the second book of Corinthians, around about the fourth chapter, somewhere around, see, we all over the place, but that's how the zeal of Yahweh, every now and then I can throw a couple verses on the table, you know. But so happened, I can't even do that. I can't even throw a couple verses on the table and come out victoriously without me some Luke chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians, there, Mother, D.F. Israel, look what it says in verse chapter 4, verse number 9. What did it say that, Mother, D.F. Israel? What can we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9? What can we read? Come on.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 reads, persecute, but not forsake, cast down, but not destroy.
Wait a minute, Mo D.F. Israel. Look real good at 1 Corinthians 4, 9. Take your time and look at it real good. Remember, I'm nervous too. Hold on, Mother. I'm nervous too. We know it's over 400,000 plus on the international side. I'm nervous too. But we got to live it bold and grand style. So read carefully at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. Just take your time and just deliver what you see that we can read. Come on.
I thought you said 2 Corinthians.
Well, that's why I said take your time and be all ears. And that's why I say, when I didn't put no Luke 12 on the table, so I'm all over the place. I'm good for some zeal every now and then, but First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 is what I'm looking for. Come on.
First Corinthians. Okay. Let me get there.
First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. That's what I'm looking for.
First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "For I think that Yahweh has set forth us, the apostles, last."
Hold up on that. Now watch when Brother Makai read that same verse. Now watch when he read the same verse, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. And watch when up and
okay.
coming. Hold on, mother. Just watch when he reads this verse. Watch the difference. 4, verse 9, brother, young lion, read 4, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians.
Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "For I think that Yahweh has set forth us, the voices of the true Israelites, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, ministry spirits, and to men."
Ain't that something? See, we come behind everybody. See, this verse right here is voices of the true Israelites. He made us last to come behind everybody, and we love doing it. So we know we've been made last. We heard everybody's teaching out there. We don't hear everybody bump the gums out there, and he made us last for this, to take care of his business. We call it the cleanup ministry, voices of the true Israelites. So we've been made last to take care of his business. Now, mother, run to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. And let me see what you can work with in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Let's see what can you work with out of 1 Corinthians. This is what Yahweh have did for the bosses of the true Israelites, the six anointed camps. Let's see what he did, as we can read in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what is that great door that had been opened up for us? What is that great door? Help me out there, young lion. Let's go to 4 verse 1. What that great door have that's opened up for us in end time prophecy in 4:1 of the book of Revelation. Let's see what this great door have been opened up for the six anointed camps. As if we want it. If we want to take it, the great door have been opened up, and what the great door is in Revelation 4 verse 1.
Book of Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter."
You hear the man saying? So the great door has been opened up in heaven for us. It's up to us to take it. And like I said again, we don't watch the best of them jump out of here, but the great door has been opened up in heaven for the six anointed camps to take advantage of it. But the only thing he asks for you to, the only thing he asks about you, Mother of Israel, in 14 verse 9 of Numbers, he pleads with you. And this is what he says in Numbers 14 verse 9. Then we'll get back to what we own. Numbers 14 verse 9. Let's see what we can read. Numbers 14 verse 9.
Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Number 14, verse 9 reads, "Only rebel not you against Yahweh, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us. Fear them not."
You see what I'm saying? And that's why we got to deal with this thing, and we got to dress everybody. You got to dress up the known world. Remember, the whole world stand before six anointed camps with nothing on. Our job is to clothe them in righteousness. And that's why we in this King James Bible to let you know those that use other books, listen to what's going on, those that use other books than the King James Bible. How did the King James Bible come in existence? You on the clock, young lion, come on again with the King James Bible one more time. Come on.
Okay. Reading from the Compact Bible Dictionary, Zondervan's Version, page 86, King James Version. When Elizabeth died in 1603, the crown passed to James I, who had been king of Scotland for 37 years, as James VI. Several months after he ascended the throne of England, he authorized a new translation of the Bible to replace the Bishop's Bible.
Stop right there. Stop right there. Now, Elder, what do the words mean he authorized the book? What do that mean that we can read? He authorized the book. What that mean, Elder? You on the clock. Come on.
Okay. Once again, can you repeat that question, Brother Seal?
Authorized. What is the definition of authorized?
Okay. That's what I thought I heard. Okay. Authorized. When that's when
authorized.
You give official authorized.
No, authorized. What is the definition of authorized? Take your time, Elder.
Okay.
And deliver the knock on the word called authorized. What does that word mean? Come on.
Okay, when you're looking at the online dictionary, it says, give official permission for approval for undertaking a particular thing or agent. Approval.
So authorized means he gave authority, approval to them, for somebody to go do something. Otherwise, he gave the authorized, he put his signature on it to go do something. Now let's find out, see, we know what the word authorized means. So that means he didn't sit down and put nothing together. He authorized somebody to do what? Come on back, young lion.
Okay. Reading from the Compact Bible Dictionary, page 86, King James Version. When Elizabeth died in 1603, the crown passed to James I, who had been king of Scotland for 37 years as James VI. Several months after he ascended the throne of England, he authorized a new translation of the Bible to replace the Bishop's Bible. 47 of the best Hebrews, saluted word for Israelite, in Greek, saluted word for Israelite scholars of the day, were divided into six groups, three for the Old Testament, two for the New, and one for the Apocrypha. Two of the groups met at Oxford, two at Cambridge, and two at Westminster. When a group had completed its task, its work was submitted to 12 men, two from each panel. Final differences of opinion were settled at a general meeting of each company. In cases of several difficulties, learned men outside the board of revisers, marginal notes were used only to explain Hebrew, polluted word for Semitic and Greek words to draw attention to parallel passages. Italics were used for words not found in original but necessary to complete the sentence. The revisers who received no financial remuneration for their work completed their task in 2 years and 9 months were devoted to a revision of their work by a special committee consisting of two members from each group. In 1611, the new version was published. It did not win immediate universal acceptance, taking almost 50 years to displace the Genevieve Bible in popular favor. In the course of time, slight alterations was made, especially in spelling, to conform to changing usage. But these were all done piecemeal by private enterprise. Its excellence is known, is shown by the fact that after 350 years, it is still used in preference to any other version in the English-speaking Protestant world for both public and private use.
Yeah, Luke chapter 12, verse 12, young lion. What do Luke 12:12 say? Come on.
Okay, going to be the Luke chapter 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. So now, the King James Bible, King James ain't wrote jack. He was the king of Scotland. He was king of England. And in 1603, came across his mind. They started putting together, it took them years to put 46 of the best Israelite scholars was put to the test. So the King James Bible was written by the seed of Yahdah, Judah, and the Levites. The 46 scholars were scattered Israelites everywhere, but he pulled the best out of them and told the whole 46, get yourself together and go get me a Bible for the peoples of the land that spoke English. I want you to go directly to those that speak the pure Semitic and translate the Bible from Semitic for my peoples. I don't want to deal with the Bishop Bible. I don't want to deal with the Vulgate, the 400 A.D. Jerome's book. I don't want to deal with the Septuagint, 294 Septuagint, which was translated by Southern Kingdom, Yahdah Judah, and the Levites. They the one translate the Bible for Esau and his five sons in 294, called the Septuagint book. Then as they got weaker and the Latins came in, they had Jerome in 400 A.D. translate the Bible from Greek, that book, to Latin. And then the Roman Catholic Church, even to this day, they read the Latin version of the book. Before the common people that don't know Latin, they got to believe what they said in Latin. So then they had the book called the Bishop's Bible. The Bishop's Bible came in that line of rope, the Bishop Bible. It came straight down through the line of the Vulgate, the Septuagint. So if you got the Bishop Bible, all these Bibles that come down that line. Now, I don't know, can we pull up a verse and then the pastors today, they go right into and say, well, that's old English. It's hard for us to understand. So what we're going to do, we're going to go get up a study Bibles and the NIV. So most of the Christians use the NIV Bible. But I want to know, can anybody that can pull up the NIV, what it says in Deuteronomy 28 verse 68 out of the NIV. Could the elder or young lion pull up what do the NIV say? And verse number NIV, I do, I'm looking right at it myself, but I love to act like I'm surprised about everything. So what can we read out of the NIV, Deuteronomy 28:68? Can anybody on stage help to figure out, although I'm looking right at it, and see can anybody on stage bring out the NIV Bible, Deuteronomy 28:68? Who want to take a shot at that? Come on.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68, NIV verse. Yahweh, verse 68, Yahweh will send you back in ships to Egypt, polluted word from Mezarine on a journey.
Hold on. Just read the way you see it. Just read it and let that old seer put the dramatics on it. Now, looking at all of the Christians, all the big dignitaries from Bill Winston to this guy out here in what he's in New Orleans, what Osteen, what his name, Klepto Dolly, T.D. Jakes, they all tell you get you a nice NIV Bible and a study guide book with you. Now, we want to read out of that NIV and see what it says. Again, just read the way you see it. Let those seer put, let them tie that in there, young lion. I know you read raw on everything, but just read it out and let's examine it as they looking at the NIV. Because, see, a lot of times they be looking at the NIV while we on the broadcast, and they be so confused because they looking at the NIV Bible. They be saying, "What? Where's that at?" See? 28:68 out of NIV, read it.
Okay, the NIV version, Deuteronomy 28:68 read. Yahweh will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you.
You see what the NIV say you're going to do? The NIV say you're going to offer yourself to the other nation. You're going to see the other nation coming and offer yourself, take me in slavery. I'm better off being in slavery than to deal with my own people. See, when you read the NIV. Read that again, because all you got to do now is look at any of these religious Christians, and they all got basically an NIV, and they can read this verse again. One more time, just the way you see it, read it again out of the NIV Bible. What does it say?
NIV Bible. The book of Deuteronomy, 28, verse 68. 68 reads, Yahweh will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Moses of Israel. Read that verse exactly where you see it. I put the dramatics on it in the King James Bible, 28:68. Now read. I put the dramatics on it. Just read the way you see it.
Deuteronomy 28.
Out of the King James Bible.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68, read. And Yahweh shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. By the way, whereof I spake unto you, thou shalt see it no more again, and there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwoman, and no man shall buy you.
Ain't that right?
So you see, when you get caught up with these new study guide Bibles, the NIV, you see how they just butcher that red on off and letting you know by you being that's the best thing for you, African American Negro, is slavery. He said, you will offer yourself. Now read one more time out of the NIV again. You heard what Mother read out of the King James Bible. Read again out of the NIV again.
Okay, NIV version. Deuteronomy 28, verse 68 reads, and Yahweh will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you.
See, that's the reason why we must come now. We must come now. Because the preachers that stand before us is a disgrace. They are disgrace to the peoples of Israel. To read that and go along with that's how it happened, it just takes away everything that was on the table. See, this is how they, let's run through the book called 1 Ezra, chapter 5, Brother Micaiah. And pick up verse 70 down to verse until we get our point. We're going to 1 Ezra. We'll make it 1 Ezra chapter 5, verse 70. Pick up verse 70. Let's see what it says. 1 Ezra chapter 5, verse 70. What does it say?
Okay. The book of 1 Ezra, chapter 5, verse 70. Verse 70 reads, then Zerubbabel and Jesus polluted word for Oshia, and the chief of the families of Israel said unto them, it is not for us and you to build together an house unto Yahweh, our Yahweh. Verse 71, we ourselves alone will build unto Yahweh of Israel, according as Cyrus, the king of the Persians, has commanded us. Verse 72, but the heathen of the land, lying heavy upon the inhabitants of Judah, Yada, put the word for Yada, and holding them straight, hindered their building. Verse 73, and by their secret plot and popular persuasion and promotion, they hindered the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived. So they were hindered from building for the space of 2 years until the reign of Darius.
So they used popular persuasion and secret plots. That's what they use to always hinder you with popular persuasion, and they use secret plots. What kind of secret plots do they use there, Mother DFB? Let's go to Michael, chapter 2. Let's find out what kind of secret plots do they use against you. That's why I say you, once you understand that this Bible, the only way you understand this Bible, you have to be led by Yahweh. Every move that the world is going to make is already recorded. So whatever they own is recorded. So all we got to hear a little bit of something, and we can make a meal out of it through the Spirit of Yahweh. See, they use secret plot and persuasion, and it'll hinder you because you have the best of your people reading a book called NIV, study guide book. A study guide. But your study guide book is from Popular Persuasion and Secret Plots. And long as you follow them, you will never understand what is written, L. Mr. Tibbs, and Numbers 15, 15, 16, and 29. Numbers, chapter 15, verse 15, 16, and 29. What do you read there, L. Mr. Tibbs? What do you read?
And Numbers, chapter 15, going to 15, 16, and 29. Verse number 15 says, one ordinance shall be for you and the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations, as ye shall the stranger be before the Yahuwah.
As you are, the way you are, children of Israel, that's how the strangers got to be. So Moses told the children of Israel, as you are, that's how the strangers got to be. Bring that verse back there, Elder. Take your time and get in that microphone right. Come on.
Verse 15. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. An ordinance forever in your generations, as ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Yahuwah. 16. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourney with you. Verse number 29 says, you shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children or family of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them.
And what he's saying, that means what was passed down to you, you got to do it the way he did. Can't nobody produce nothing for you. No Bible study guides, no NIV, no Bishop Bible, no Samtusian Bible, no Samtusian, the Vulgate, 400 by Jerome in 400 AD. Listen to you right here, sticks and anointed camps. As you are, so should a stranger be. You cannot follow the other nations. You got to follow the rules and regulations as you are. Do you put a curse over yourself by following them? Because it makes it plain that we can read Brother Micaiah in Amos chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, and verse 7. What can we read in Amos chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 7? And Mother D.F. Israel have me Psalms chapter 147, 19, and 20 waiting on me.
Okay, man. Chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and verse 7. Verse 1 reads, hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your sins. Verse 7, surely Yahuwah will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the seers.
He says Yahuwah would do nothing but reveal whatever he got to say to the world through his seers. So that's how he wrote. He told Amos to write down, you only have I known. Out of all of the 18 nations, including you, only one I've known. The only one I known that I communicated with was the children of Israel. You only have I known out of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I'm going to punish you with your study guide books, with your NIV books, because you're breaking what I said in Numbers 15, 15, and 16. As you are, so should a stranger be. The strangers cannot lead you. You got to lead them. Do you out of order, out of the will of Yahuwah? So that's what the seer had to do, to come and tell them, you out of order when you follow any other nation besides the order that is written in this book. Now, David is speaking from the mouth of the ministering spirit from the Son to the Father. This is what David said in spirit as the ministering spirit dictated to him in 147, verse 19 and 20. My dear Israel, what did he say that we can read?
Psalms 147. Okay. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20.
Yes, ma'am. Get in that microphone and represent Kemp and style with the most spirit of some audio. Come on.
Psalms 147, verse 19 and 20, verse 19. He showed his word unto Israel, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. Verse 20. He has not dwelt so with any nation. And as for his judgment, they have not known them. Praise you, Yahuwah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
So he said, you better praise Yahuwah. He haven't showed his word to nobody but Jacob. And he showed Israel. So now, why say Jacob? So see, that opened up the door for when Jacob come in, you understand that the only way you're going to learn your Bible is to understand the origin of the word Jacob. How did that word come into existence? Is it from the bloodline and what happened? What's going on? He showed his word to Jacob. Jacob is now a polluted word for Israel. When we're teaching, we got to teach now. Teach now. Let's back up Brother Micaiah in the 32nd chapter, verse 24. Let's see how this word Jacob came into existence. Let's see how this word Jacob came to existence by going to Genesis 32, figure verse 24 down to verse 30. Listen how this word, read verse 1 just to get warmed up and see who behind this word Jacob. And when the ministering spirit, the angel, met him, let's see what's going on that we can read and 32 verse 1 and 24 down to verse 30. He's going to tell a story. He's going to tell a whole story. All we got to do is meet him where he at. You understand one thing. It ain't but one Bible going to tell a story, the King James Version. Because I can go right back to NIV and the whole lesson be on the NIV and the study guide Bible and have you all over the place with verses that we read and that we understand. You get your NIV, they get to working on verses, boy. It's just like you said. And like when they have that book in their hand and try to follow the original King James 11, they be confused all over the place. Out of order by following the other people's concocting a book up called the Bible Study Guide in the NIV and the New King James Version. What you got to have a New King James Version for? If you read the New King James Bible, it's going to cost you up too. Because you study wait on them to bring you something, and everything they bring you is to get you further away from the knowledge of self. And you're only going to find about the 1611 King James Bible, all 80, or the King James Bible that with the Apocrypha, you stick right in the middle, right between Malachi and Matthew. The Apocrypha go right there. Boom. Right there. That's where it goes at. Right between Malachi and Matthew. You put that little ring right between there. Boom. Then you're all right. What are we reading? Come on.
The book of Genesis. Chapter 32, verse 1, 24 down to 30. Verse 1 reads, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of Yahweh met him. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except you bless me. Verse 27. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Verse 28. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, for Israel. For as a prince has you power with Yahweh and with man, and has prevailed. Verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name. And he said, wherefore is it that you do ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen Yahweh face to face, and my life is preserved.
Okay, so that is the origin of the name Jacob. Don't run from the name. Don't act like you don't see the name, but you got to have your foundation. The name now is not to be used anymore because Yahweh have put a spiritual name on him, Israel. Guess what? He put a spiritual name on you, Israel. To don't be so quick to use your government name unless you cast an attack. See? So he put a blessing on you too. He said, he asked him, what's your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, your name is not to be called anymore Jacob, but Israel. Then he gave him the definition of what Israel means. For as a prince, you got power with Yahweh and have prevailed. So that was the word Jacob means. So you listen to me, 690 camps. You have to boldly take care of business and don't run away from nothing in the Bible. Jacob is not to jump over Jacob. Deal with Jacob. Because then you're going to spark their interest. And why do you call him something else? Then you got to have these verse back there waiting on him. He said, that makes you a prince. So then when we precept that verse in the 28th chapter, verse 1, Brother Micaiah. In the 28th chapter, verse 1 of Chronicles, can you help me out in 28, verse 1 and 2? See, when you confidence of the Bible, that's the game changer. And we don't know when you're ready. Because Yahweh got some things written in his Bible that we need to know. And you only come when you're in order. Look what it says in the 28th chapter of Chronicles, verse number 1 and 2.
Book of Chronicles. Second Chronicles.
First Chronicles. 28, verse 1 and 2. What is it that we can read?
First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 reads, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribe, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by court, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty man, and with all the valiant men, unto Jerusalem, polluted the word from Yahweh. Verse 2, then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brother, and my people. As for me, I had in my mind to build a temple of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and for the footstool of our Yahweh, and had made ready for the building. Verse 3.
That's it?
For Yahweh.
I want one and two. But now listen how that picture painted so pretty. See, that's lovely. That's nice. Very nice. Now come back to verse 1. Now David stood up. He's talking about his brothers. See, this is the point we're trying to tell you. You, children of Israel, we just haven't heard the Bible told to us soundly to bring this book out. So David is talking to his brothers. He said, hear me, my brothers. Now, who was his brothers in verse 1 again? Who was David's brothers in verse 1?
1 Corinthians chapter 28, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribe, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by court, and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the king, and his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty man, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem.
Now, so who did he assemble, according to verse 1? Who did King David assemble, according to verse 1? Who did he assemble, according to verse 1?
Verse 1, and David assembled all the princes of Israel.
Excellent. You see, that's nice. See, 6 and on the count, that's nice. You see what David did? But you about rainbow and everything else. See, you're doing too much. When are you going to do Bible? Now, where he pull that from? Now, he pulled that verse. The only reason David did that, he pulled the prisoners of Israel. The only reason he did that, he had to have written records on why did he do that. Now, what's the precept of why David confidently pulled the prisoners of Israel together, and that's who was around him. But he just couldn't make that up. He had to have a record to go on. Let's go to 7 verse 1 of Numbers there, Brother Micaiah. Let's run to 7 verse 1 and find out in Numbers where he pulled that verse from. Do you know that the Bible, everything you read is a verse pulled from somewhere? That's why I say you can put a stop to the mouth in a minute. They ask the one thing, where that verse pulled from. They don't have no answer. They don't have no answer. And then, and until they get big ears and little mouth, they'll never have no answer. Yahweh got an order about things. If you get in order, he's going to intervene. If you don't get in order, he's not going to intervene. What did David pull that verse from? 7:1, bring it. Numbers, come on.
The book of Numbers, chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, and it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them. Verse 2, that the princes of Israel, heirs of the house of their father, who were the princes of the tribe, and were over them that were numbered, offered. Verse 3,
good.
And they bought their
good. So you see where he pulled it from? The princes of the leaders of the tribes of Israel. You see what we're trying to tell? That's why I keep telling you, see where you. Listen, we got to get in order. And order was written in this Bible. You worry about everybody, or what about the other nation? What about the other nation? What about getting in order according to the Bible for Yahweh to intervene, but we can get on down the road? See? Why don't you get in order? That's all you got to do. Why don't you get in order? How you get in order? There's right there. The princes of Israel. The princes of Israel. Do you hear anything about Muslims? Do you hear anything about Catholics? Do you hear anything about anything? All you hear is, that's the talk this book brings to you, and this is what you got to bring to your peoples, what this Bible is saying. Now, Moses of Israel, read the way you see it in 2 Kings 17:34. Just read the way you see it. Because they're going to tell a story, but the boldness got to come out now. See, if 2 Kings 17:34. What does it say that we can read?
2 Kings 17:34. 2 Kings 17:34, and it reads, "Unto this day they do after the former manner. They fear not Yahweh, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinance, or after the Torah instructions, and the Torah instruction which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel."
Yeah. The children of Jacob, who he named Israel. Okay. Then he says, Book Micaiah, he made a statement in back to Genesis 35, verse 9 and 10. Then he made a statement. Just read the way you see it. Then he made a statement. He said, you're out of order. You have a problem of using your biblical name. He said, but the children of Jacob, who he named Israel. So Yahweh came back to Jacob again after he let the milk and spirit kind of get him all straightened out. He came right back to him in 35, verse 9 and 10. And what did he say that we can read?
The book of Genesis, chapter 35, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 reads, "And Yahweh appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. Verse 10, "And Yahweh said unto him, Your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And he called his name Israel."
And he called his name Israel. He the one says, your name is not to be called anymore Jacob. He says, your name is not to be called anymore Jacob. Now Jacob becomes a what kind of name that we can read in 262 of EZRA, Brother Micaiah. So what Jacob become now after that point? That we can read. EZRA 262. When we see a name, Jacob, what do that name become according to Yahweh?
The book of Ezra. EZRA chapter 2, verse 62 reads, "These saw their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore was they excluded, put from the priesthood."
So when we see the word Jacob, we don't run from the word. What are we supposed to do according to the Bible? Young Lion.
The book of Ezra, chapter 2, verse 62. 62 reads, these thought they registered among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted.
Put from your brain. So that's what I mean, polluted. So you will see the word Jacob, you don't hide like you don't see it. Jacob is a polluted noun for Israel. Because when you use the name Israel, that makes you a prince. Then you got power with Yahweh. But when you keep on snuffing at your name and you studying these slave names, let me show you about some more slave names. Let me show you the punishment of these slave names. Now you gotta be watch the best of them. But I gotta hear things read according to the way it is if I can put the dramatics on it. Most of Israel, what can I read in Isaiah 65 verse 15?
Isaiah 65.
Uh-huh. What can I read in Isaiah 65, verse 15? What can
Isaiah,
his master hear in 65, verse
Isaiah,
15?
Mm-hmm. Isaiah 65, verse 15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for Yahweh shall slay you and call his servant by another name.
He said, you don't leave your name for a curse name. Let's see what name you're going to leave for a curse name that we can read and read the way you see it there, Brother Micaiah. What do you see that in 14, 13 Genesis? He said, you're going to leave your name for a curse name. Let's see what's a curse name you're going to leave your name for. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 13.
Book of Genesis chapter 14, verse 13. 13 reads, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Esau, the brother of Anir.
Hold that point. What they call Abram?
The Hebrew.
The Hebrew. He said, you're going to leave your name for a curse. Now you got some call themselves Hebrew Israelites. See? The word Hebrew is a curse name to the children of the fathers of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. That is a curse name. Hebrew. Hebrew Israelites. The word Hebrew is a trap word from Satan the devil. Hebrew. So those that use the name Hebrew, that's a trap word from Satan the devil. Okay? Hebrew. And then you come up with Hebrew language and Hebrew dialects and everything. That's a trap word from Satan the devil. Hebrew. That's one word. Let's see if we get some more. Let's run to Acts 11:26, Mother Day of Israel. Read it where you see it. Now we got the word Hebrew is a trap word from Satan the devil. So when you use the name Hebrew and apply it to you, see, this is called high horse understanding for the six anointed camps. You can know what anybody is. All they got to do is speak. You can know they have not been trained by voices of a true Israelite, the lead tribe. Hebrew is a trap word from Satan the devil. Abraham is not a Hebrew. That's a trap word. Hebrew is a trap word. Then you come up with all kind of dictionaries on what it means. It means crossover, man from beyond. It means everything but polluted. And they come up with a doctrine, not over the language, called Hebrew. You know what I mean? And we watch the best of them. But we know you're not the one we're going to talk about shortly to come. We know you're not the one because you're not going to get caught up with that. You're going to stay in order and get instructions from the lead tribe on order. And we're going to watch you until you come clean. Now, let's find out another trap word that is from Satan the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read in Acts 11:26.
Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and it reads, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch."
Yeah. See what happened? The disciples was called Christians first in Antioch, and they put a name called Church and Christian on them. Now you got two more trap words for the children of Israel from Satan the devil. Church and Christian. They assembled the church, and they assembled the Christians were called Christian at Antioch. So now you got two more words that have been added to you. But what do we say about these things called and words to you? What is the record about and things to you? So the word church, Christian, Christ-like, which come from Christo, is all curse words to you. Them is curse words to you. You're not the first Christian. You're not the church. You're not the Hebrew. So now you got three curse words already on you that limit. Now, this will happen when you, this will happen. When you identify with the church, the Christian, and identify the church, Christian in Hebrew, then it's curse words. Do you know what the mental spirit told David concerning that? Let's see what he elder. Let's see what he told David concerning that in 78, verse 40 and 41 of Psalms. What did he tell David, the mental spirit told David? Remember we read Numbers 15:15? Said, as you are, so shall you the stranger before be. So look what happened when you identify with being a Hebrew, going to a church, or Christ, Christian. Look what you do for your mighty one in Psalm 78, 40, and 41. Let's see what you do when he see you get caught up with that nonsense. Come on, Elder. 78, 40, and 41 of the book called Psalms. Fear, the elder taking too long. We gonna mute him. Keep talking. We gonna catch you in something tonight. Oh yeah. All right, a young man, bring that voice out.
The book of Psalms, chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "I waited patiently for Yahweh, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry."
What you reading? What are you reading there, young line? Hold that point, young line. Let's see if Camp Bo is ready to come on stage. Let's see if she ready to holler that microphone. Camp Bo, Detroit, Michigan. Leora. Princess Leora Israel out of Camp Bo, Detroit, Michigan. Y'all probably get you that seat right.
Yeah, God bless you, sir. Is a seat royal.
You say it so fast like you are trying to get it out your mouth. Why can't you take the time to say it again? So, Prince of Israel, Yahweh be there, see you.
Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel. See Royal.
Hallelujah. We got a great meal. Don't you take your time with a great meal? Yeah. That same thing. I'll back up to Psalm 78 for me there, precious. And tell me what it says in verse 40 and 41. Psalm 78, verse 40 and 41. What do you say we can read there, Princess?
Psalm 78, 40 and 41.
Yes, ma'am. What do you read?
Psalm 78, verse 40 and 41.
Yes.
Verse 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Verse 41. Yeah. They turned back and tempted Yahweh and limited the righteous one of Israel.
What did they do? Otherwise, they limited his hand from doing business with the children of Israel because they provoke him. Now, you're doing the thing. Yahweh is waiting to help you, but you don't limit his hand. Either you a Hebrew Israelite, or you going to some church, or you call yourself Christ and Christian. Christ and Christian, same word. Christ, Christian. Christ, Christian is all polluted. Christ, Christian. And long as you Christ, Christian, you got a curse over your head. And Brother Micaiah, they got another word that is a curse over your head. Let's go to Sirach, chapter 31, 24. Let's see what's another word is a curse over your head. And then you come with all kind of different definition on what it means. You clearly say, well, this word means this. Why don't you just read what the Bible says it means? If you is called by these names. Sirach 31, 24 says what?
The book of Sirach, chapter 31, verse 24 reads, but against him that is a nigger of his meat, the whole city shall murmur, and the testimonies of his niggerness shall not be doubted of.
You see that? So you see, when you're outside of the covenant of Yahweh, you're a nigger. If you're a nigger when you're outside of the... See, a nigger... See, they don't define the word nigger means everything but what the Bible says the word nigger means. Now, see, here go the definition of what nigger means. You got the word means black. It means Niger. It means, man, it means what the Bible says it means. Here's what the word nigger means right here. 31, 24. See, you got the word nigger, and they define it in your dictionary means black. Black people, no, it don't mean that. That's what you've been told that it means. What the word nigger means is in Sirach 31, 24. That was, here was the Bible definition of the word nigger. It ain't got nothing to do with color. It just you don't let man put a color on it and apply it to you. Come here, nigger. And you adopted to that. But that ain't what the word nigger means. Here go the definition of what the word nigger means. Sirach 31, 24, bring it.
The book of Sirach, chapter 31, verse 24 reads, but against him that is a nigger of his meat, the whole city shall murmur, and the testimonies of his niggerness shall not be doubted of.
You see, that was the word nigger mean, that you contrary to the understanding of thus says Yahweh. Ain't got nothing to do with no color. You just let them add on to it because you let them define words for you. You don't want to let the Bible define what the word nigger mean. And they said, do it talks about being a nigger at the table in one of them verses. Do it talk about being a nigger at the table there that we can read there, young man? It talks about anything that I'm looking for somewhere. Did you talk about being a nigga at the table? What did it say? What did it say, young lion?
Running down now. I'm going to pick it back. I'm just going to read. Want me to read down?
Yeah, well, start again. Just read down a little bit. Let me get a few verses. I want the word table come in there. That table is in there versus anywhere. It's a precept for table. As if we can find the word table in there. Read down a few verses. Let's see if we can find the word table in there for the nigga. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 25. Show not thy valiantness in wine, for wine hath destroyed men. 26. The furnace proveth the ends by dipping. So do wine the mind of the proud by drunkenness. Verse 27. Wine is as good as life to a man, if it be drunk monetarily. What life is then to a man that is without wine? For it was made.
Good. I'm going to leave that alone because I was looking for being a nigga at the table. I got to come back with that a little bit later. But we find out, come on back to verse 24 again. So when you call a nigga, why do you, if I get excited about being called a nigga, they don't know the definition. You let the other nation define what the word nigga means. You never let the Bible define the word nigga. Hear what the word nigga means and 31:24. What it mean?
The book of Sirach, chapter 31, verse 24. 24 reads, but against him that is a nigger of his meat, the whole city shall mumble, and the testimonies of his niggerness shall not be doubted of.
See, the niggerness of his meat. See, you be a nigger of your meat. Do you know what he's talking about? You see, be niggerness of his meat. That's what he's talking about. So you can be a niggerness of your meat. Do you really? What are you talking about? Be nigger of his meat. That's what he's talking about, are you? It's precept being a nigger of your meat. That means your belongings. You can let your belongings and you become a nigger of your belongings, huh? Not doing what Yahweh tell you. You can be a nigger of your belongings because Yahweh made it plain about something. So you can define is you being a nigger. You be a nigger of his meat. What did now I'm a secret. Anybody in one of these can't help me. When Yahweh says, my meat is not of this world. Can anybody help me out? Let's see if anybody in one of these camps help me out. When Yahweh said, my meat is not of this world. My meat is not of this world. See, that's what he's trying to tell you. See, Roy, you can let your possession with your meat make you a nigga. See? You make you a nigga on your possession. Case in point, my dear Israel, read Luke chapter 16 and pick it up at verse number 19-21. My dear Israel, let's run to Luke. Let me show you how you become a nigger. You make your meat. And you become a nigger. Let me show you how you become a nigger. It is right here. In the verse of the 16th chapter of Luke, pick up verse 19-21. This is a nigger get ready to think. Here go a nigger right here. Watch this nigger right here get busy.
Luke chapter 16, verse 19-21.
19:20-21.
Luke chapter 16, verses 19-21. Verses 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fair substantially every day.
Hold on a minute. Luke 16. Make it 12. Thank you there, Mother DFS. Make it 12. Make it Luke, verse 12, verse 19 and 21. We'll get to this man in purple another time. But right now, he had to take me off and go another direction, but I don't feel like doing it right now. Let's read Luke 12, verse number 19 to 21. You try to identify the definition of this, of a nigger.
Okay. All right. Luke chapter 12, verse 19 to 21, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years.
Stop it there. You see, I'm going to say to myself, soul, you got much good for many years. The precept just escaped me. It just escaped me. So, yeah, Proverbs chapter 3, 1 through 5. Sample. You should see, do you want Proverbs 3, 1 through 5? Yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you, Campo. Proverbs 3, 1 down to verse 5. Get in the microphone. Let's talk about soul.
Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 5. My son, forget not my Torah instructions, but let thy mind keep my Torah instructions. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy mind. Verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahuwah and man. Verse 5, trust in Yahuwah with all thy mind and lean not unto thy own understanding.
Okay, so what is soul doing of Mother D of Israel in verse 19 and 12, 19? What soul is doing? What old soul doing?
Proverbs 3, verse 12.
Hold on, Detroit. We got it. We all good. I'm back to Mother D of Israel. So now, what is soul doing, Mother D of Israel, in verse 19? What is soul doing? What is old soul doing in verse 19?
Luke chapter 12, verse 19 reads, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Verse 20.
Now, my question to you, what is old soul doing? Help him out, young lion. What is soul doing, young lion? What is soul doing according to Proverbs 3, verse 5?
Being merry?
No. I gave him the gate of verse, 3, verse 5. You know, don't make no shot from nowhere that the book can't support it. 3, verse 5. What is soul doing? 3, 5.
Trusting in your own understanding.
That was soul doing. Leaning on his own understanding. And he just told you in Proverbs, don't do that. So soul said what he gonna do. So soul have violated Proverbs 3, verse 5. He leaning on his own understanding. That was soul. Soul is already looking ahead on what old soul going to do. And then we'll say, so this was soul say he going to do. Now verse 20. Talk about a soul that's leaning on its own understanding. Verse 20.
But Yahweh said unto him, thou fool.
Hold on. What he call a fool?
A fool.
Why did he call him a fool there, Brother Micaiah in Acts 15:15?
Book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 15. 15 reads, and to this agree the words of the seer, as it is written.
And to disagree with the seer, as is what?
As it is written.
Or what did Yahweh say you are if you don't look at that the way he said it in Luke 24, verse 25? So what is the precept to that when Yahweh called him a name, and what did Yahweh say in 24, verse 25 of Luke?
Book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 25 reads, then he said unto them, O fool, and slow of mind to believe all that the seers have spoken.
You see that? So you see why we always get caught up? We always try to get around the order of things. So the man from heaven that called the end from the beginning, he says, when you don't believe all what the seer has spoken, what that make you? According to the Bible.
Boom.
You see that? You see that? It is right there. And that's why we out of order everywhere. That's why they doing NIVs, they're doing new Bible study guide Bibles that already got some statement behind the statement and come from somebody else. It's never come from the seer, it's never come from the elders. The order thing is coming from somebody else. And that's why we just as dumb as all our doors. And when you said three scriptures to a Christian, it's like you ran a marathon and came back. You get them three scriptures, it's just like you ran a marathon 40-some miles and back just by getting them three scriptures. And we give you 100 every night, six nights a week, at least 100. It ain't nothing to it. You give a Christian three scriptures, boy, like you came from space from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like get,
mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. What the average preacher? The average preacher will be up there all the time and count the scriptures that he going to give you. That
mm-hmm.
big old congregation. If you get past three, you better hit that plate five or six times if he gives you three scriptures. Shoot, you gotta come up there and rub the sweat off his temple head behind three scriptures. See, so you see Ray, we got a big job to do. If people brags about being mistaught, misled, and like it just coming, it's coming to be misled. He called him a fool. Now, come on back, mother. He called him a fool because he think outside of himself instead of find out the order of things on the moves you're supposed to make first. What did it say?
Luke chapter 12, verse 20.
Go ahead.
But Yahweh said unto him, thou fool,
yes.
This night, your soul shall be required of you.
Mm-hmm.
Then who shall these those things be which you have provided.
Mm-hmm.
21. So is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards Yahweh.
Hallelujah. You see the man saying? He said, yeah, you got men sitting there, got these, what's these plans? They got a, the case, they got a plan where you sitting around with the better half, y'all sitting around planning on what you're going to be on 5 years, 10 years from the day or when you're retirement. He said, listen to that. See, now you on all that on what you're going to do and up the road. But you never remember what Yahweh say, Mother Dear of Israel, in St. John 7, verse 6. And that's why he called you a nigger with your meat. That means you a nigger with your money. You take your money and you'll do everything contrary to the Bible, and you put it up, like they say, for a rainy day. You, I'm laying this up for a rainy day. Okay. We plan it for 5 years, 10 years from the day.
Yeah.
You see what you're on? St. John 7, verse 6.
St. John chapter 7, verse 6 reads, then Yahweh the Son said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
You say, your time. You look at this. Your time, and see, if you're not rich in Yahweh, your time is always. Every time I tell you, see, right here. See, you can be a nigger with your meat. You can be a nigger with your meat because Yahweh made it plain, and then we're going to precept the Bible, Brother Micaiah. We go on to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we're going to look at verse number 11. See, you can be a nigger with your meat. See, that's the nigger with your meat. Because you ignore what he got written in his Bible, you become a nigger with your meat. I already said, a nigger with your meat. Let's see what he got written that we can read in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 11 and 14, 17 and 18. Let's see what we can read out of the Bible about being a nigger with your meat.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Verse 11, 14, 17 through 18. Verse 11 reads, beware that you forget not Yahweh, your Yahweh, in not keeping his Torah instruction, and his judgment, and his statutes, which I command you this day. Verse 14. Then your mind be lifted up, and you forget Yahweh, your Yahweh, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 17, and you say in your mind, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, but you shall remember Yahweh, your Yahweh, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swears before unto his father, as it is this day.
See that? You see the man saying? So now we know clear the definition of being a nigger. So now we know you can go in your dictionary, you find all types of words that nigger means black, nigger means this, no, nigger means exactly that. Exactly what we read out of the Bible, coming out of the verse we came out of Sirach. That was the word nigger means. See, nigger is when you don't understand the word of Yahweh as it is written. That's what makes you a nigger. And you can be stingy with your meat, and you not rich in Yahweh, because he got rules and regulations. He just told you rules and regulations. Now, he just told you rules and regulations right there in Deuteronomy out of heaven tablets. Then you precept that verse. to 2 Chronicles 28, 2 Chronicles 24, 4 through 5, 8 through 11. Then use precept. Let's see, do anything change as time progresses on? 2 Chronicles 24, verse 4, 5, 8 through 11. What does it say?
Okay, go on. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 24, verses 4, 5, and 8 through 11. Verse 4 reads, and it came to pass after this, that Josiah was minded to repair the house of Yahweh. Verse 5, and he gathered together the priests, the Levites, and said to them, go out unto the city of Judah, to the word of Yada, and gather all Israel money to repair the house of your Yahweh from year to year. And see that you hate the
land. Why not for temple? Why not temple? Is that what they're talking about?
Okay. The book of Second Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 5. Verse 5 reads, and he got together the priest, Levi, and said to them, go out unto the city of Judah, pollute the word for Yada, and gather of all Israel money to repair the temple of your Yahweh from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hasten it not. Verse 8, and the king's commandment, they made a check and set it without at the gate of the temple of Yahweh. Verse 9, and they made a proclamation from Judah, through the word for Yahdah, and Jerusalem, through the word for Yahdah, to bring in to Yahweh the collection. And Moses, the servant of Yahweh, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. Verse 10, and all the princes and all the people rejoiced and bought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Verse 11, now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribes and the high priest officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in a body.
Mm-hmm. So you see that? You see what it is? So that's how they roll. And who took the lead role on all that right there? See, because we get ready to shift the gears, but understand one thing. See, the definition of the word nigger, we clear what it means. See, we clear. The six anointed camps is clear what the word means. We know what they say, but we went into the Bible and found out what the word nigger means. So now we clear what the word nigger means. So we clear what it means. And all you do, watch the page of the book, and you can tell who a nigger is by watching the page of the book. Because the nigger will be exactly what the Bible said he will be when we read in the book of Sirach. That's how you tell a nigger, according to Sirach. Now, we read the 24th chapter, but now we got to put a name on who folks respond and not be a nigger when they hear the word that comes out. 2 Chronicles 31, 5, 6, 20 and 21. Brother McCall, let's talk about some more of this book. 2 Chronicles, chapter 31, 5, 6, 20 and 21. And Camp Old Detroit, Michigan, had me 2 Chronicles 25, verse 9, waiting on me. Let's see what we're working with.
The book is 2 Chronicles. Chapter 31, verses 5, 6, 20, and 21. Verse 5 reads, and as soon as the commandment, the Torah instruction came abroad, the children of Israel bought in their bonds the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and a tithe, and a tenth of all things bought they in abundance. Verse 6. And concerning the children of Israel, and Yada, polluted word Judah, that dwelt in the cities of Judah, polluted word for Yada, they also bought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and a tenth of righteous things, which were consecrated unto Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, and laid them by he. Verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, polluted word for Yada, wrought that which was good and right and truth before Yahuwah, his Yahuwah. Verse 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the temple of Yahuwah, in the Torah instructions, first five books of the Bible, in the Torah instructions, to seek his Yahuwah, he did it with all his might and prospered.
And what?
And prospered.
And prospered. Now, what you reading now? Hey, count three. I mean, count four. What you reading? What you reading now, count four? What you reading, count four? See, we going to mute count four. Taking too long to respond. Mm. Yeah, all right. So, Mother Dear of Israel, we're going to read that verse 25, verse 9, because of the latter-day things, and we're doing a lot of muking when they're too slow or pulling the trigger, huh? Well, see, at your radio station, you do what you want to do with it. We're just going to do our part. Second Chronicles 25, verse 9, what does it say that Mother Dear of Israel, see, right?
Second Chronicles. Chapter 25, verse 9, reads, verse 9. And Amaziah said to the men of Yahuwah, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the men of Yahuwah answered, Yahuwah is able to give you much more than this.
Ain't that something? You see that? See, Yahuwah is able to give you much more than you even think. See, Yahuwah is able to give you much more. See, we want to be what they call it, a nigga with the meat. That we want to be a nigga with the meat. Knowing that Yahuwah is able to do what again? What are you able to do, Mother Dear Israel? What is Yahuwah?
To give you much more than this.
So you see, that's the part we're making. But long we've been a nigga with our meat, we ought to know you snoring down the blessing of thus says Yahuwah. Because we can go and show you that there's already on record. We got plenty of information, but we just can't bring out everything in one lesson. That is that they already is descendants of Esau. They already doing some things to a lot of meat warehouses and all over the world. They do a lot of things. We got all of them, but we can't teach on everything. They do a lot of things. They burn up the meat houses. They causing a problem for you to break out running. But we've been telling you in advance what we need to do for ourselves, Land School, Baker Hall radio station. But you're going to wait until they continue doing what they already, with the secret plot. And what was that verse again? What they using again? Micaiah, what they using in first? Ezra, set, what verse was that? Verse 73. What verse was that again?
Verse 73.
I need that verse again there, Brother Micaiah.
Verse
that verse again in verse 73 of First Ezra. What was that verse again? 573?
I'm going in now.
Mm-hmm. This is for the popular persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
For the first
time. Israel. That's excellent. We might read a little bit of it. So you see, what it say?
For the first time. Chapter 5, verse 73. Verse 73 reads, and by their secret plot and popular persuasion and commotion, they hindered the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived. So they were hindered from building for the space of 2 years into the ring of Darius.
But because they know once the six anointed camps get these things gone, remember, the more Yahweh elevates the six anointed camps, the more the world will come down. So you know this. They're going to do everything they can to keep you from doing what you got to do and keep you being a, 3124 of Sirach. They're going to keep you being a 3124. See? By design. And Mother, give me that Micah chapter 2 and pick up verse 1 down to verse 4. Micah chapter 2, 2, 3, 4. Let's see what it's going to keep you being.
Michael.
Come on, young man. Sirach, 31:24.
Book of Sirach, chapter 31, verse 24. 24 reads, but speak against that is a nigger of his meat. The whole city shall mumble, and the testimonies of this niggerness shall not be doubted of.
You'll see. So you got so much plans, and you leaving Yahweh's business out the way. He was created to take care of Yahweh's business. Don't you know that when we come on this network, we know what we did last time. It's on this broadcast. You was created to do Yahweh's business, but you would put Yahweh's business and get into your business, and you put Yahweh's business secondary. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened to you? You be so busy trying to, I forgot the plan they got for 5 years up the road, 10 years up the road. But he said, but you're not rich in me. He said, you're not rich in me, and I gave you a case in point with one of your better students. I let him work two jobs for years. And all of a sudden, made come in his mind, said, well, I'm getting ready to go down south and sold and ran back, take my time and beat and ran back. Me and the better half that been on the job with me, keep it on the job 40 years too, 30, 40 years. You just going to ran back and take it. What about the ministry? Oh, well, I'm still going to be doing the ministry, but I'll get it. Here the pictures of it. This is what I got, the pictures of it. I said, yeah? See? And all of a sudden, Yahweh said, your life is required in my hand. Now, who all these things going to go to? Now your sons and daughters run around pulling pistols at the window every chance they get. Come out of my daddy's house. See? But where you at? If you're not rich in your car, you ain't got nothing coming. That's what a man trying to tell you. If you're not rich in your car, you ain't got nothing coming. You can't continue to keep on being a nigga at the table. You got to be rich in Yahweh. That's why we call network 6 nights a week, ready to go. Every time, ready to go. Letting you know what got to happen in Yahweh's word. And you got to stay away from these names that you've been called and then try to find a definition about it. Let's go to Acts 11:26. Is we holding something already?
Yeah, you said Micah chapter 2. I didn't catch the verse.
One down to verse 4.
Micah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1 reads, woe to them that devise sin and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. Verse 2. And they convert fields and take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his family, even a man and his heritage. Verse 3. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, against this family do I devise an evil from which you shall not remove your net, neither shall you go haughtily, for this time is evil. Verse 4. In that day shall one take up a parable against you and lament with a dutiful lamentation.
Lamentation.
I don't know that word. Huh?
Dutiful lamentation.
And say, we be utterly spoiled. He has changed the portion of my people, how has he removed it from me? Turning away, he has divided our field.
Yeah, you have people that have divided your fields and then take your fields and come up with their own way of how you got to deal with your own fields. They got all that going on you.
Mm-hmm.
How some more names that you are, remember say you're going to leave your name for a curse. What's the more name that you're going to be called? Acts 11:26. Let's run down a few names real quick. Now, we read already Acts 11:26 already, Brother Micaiah. Let's read 13, verse 1. Let's see about a name. Now, when it came to you, thought it was just put in your book, but we already found the word already way back over here in the book of Sirach. And look what it says over here in Acts 13, verse 1.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 1. Verse 1 reads, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain seers and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon. They was called niggers.
And they was called what? They was called nigger. See, the other people called them nigger. They was called nigger. So then you got to define the word, what the word nigger means, and the definition told you what a nigger means, and you watch the world come up with their own definition of the word nigger. What the word nigger mean in Sirach 31:24?
Sirach, chapter 31, verse 24 reads, but against him that is a nigger of his meat, the whole city shall murmur, and the testimonies of his niggerness shall not be doubted of.
You see that? That was the word nigger mean, stingy of your meat. Stingy of your meat. That what the word nigger means. They didn't come up with all kinds of definitions after that, and you take it and run with it. But I'm told you, number 1515, as you are, folks are the strange to be. Now, what another name that you call in Lamentation 5, verse 10, Brother Micaiah, what's another name you call? Now, Mother, you get that. Lamentation 5, verse 10, and Brother Micaiah, you get me, 2 Maccabees 4, verse 9, and backed up with 2 Maccabees chapter 6, verse 6 and 9. We're going to show you some other name that you call. Lamentation 5:10. What it say?
Lamentation chapter 5, verse 10. Our skin was black, like an oven.
Stop it there. That's another name you call black. See? That's another name that you call black. Black Hebrew Israelite. See that? That's another name you call black. Who are you? I'm black. That puts you up on the curse. I'm black Hebrew Israelite. That puts you up on the curse. See, we got a lot of work to do. Black Hebrew Israelite. Lamentation 5:10 call you black. Second, Maccabees 4 verse 9. What it said, Brother Micaiah?
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, besides this, he promised to assign 150 more, if he might have license to set him up a place for exercise and for training up of youth in the fashions of the heathen, and to write them of Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada, by the name of Antiochian.
You see that? You see that? So now you see what name they gave you then? They gave Yada Judah the name Antiochian. It's like you got a name now called American Negro. Hey, right there. See, there goes another name you would call. See, they always take your name away from you and give you another name. Here, look at then verse 9. This is where it started from, removing your name, Yahdah Judah, and give you what name? Now you always had leaders that look just like you, and they went to the big dignitaries to get another name and said, we're going to call Judah this name. What name they going to call Judah now? You'll forget your father's name, and you'll be called Second Maccabees 4, verse 9. What did it say?
The book of Second Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, besides this, he promised to assign 150 more, if he might have license to set him up a place for exercise and for the training of his youth in the fashion of the heathen, and to write them of Jerusalem, polluted word for Yada, by the name of Antiochian.
So there, do you see what name you was called? Now, whatever name you was called, Brother Micaiah, in 2 Maccabees chapter 6, 6 and 9. What other name you was called? 6, 6. What other name you was called?
The book of 2 Maccabees chapter 6, 6. And 9, verse 6, Mick reads, neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days of ancient feast, or to profess himself at all to be a Jew. Verse 9, and whoso
Jew
would not.
Is polluted for Yahdah Judah. Jew is polluted. You couldn't, because we just read, you couldn't call yourself Yahdah. You have to call yourself Antiochians. You have to call yourself Greeks and everything. Any name but your name. So here it is right here. They coming again, rehearsing. So you could call yourself by your genealogy name, Yahdah Judah. You have to call yourself the Jew. See? The Jew. Anything but your bloodline name. Ain't no father by the name of Jew. You can't come up with no definition for the name Jew pointing back to the children of Yahdah Judah. You'll come up with a name called a Jew. That's polluted for Judah. Point blank, polluted for Judah, the Jew. Verse 9.
Verse 9 reads, and whoso would not conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles shall be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery.
So that same spirit is on the brothers today. The reason why they call themselves everything but what they really are, because the same spirit is on them, the same spirits have been put back into the world, the good and the evil, and the evil spirit got you doing the same thing right now. calling yourself everything but the name that Yahweh gave you there to bless. Because you take the death sentence still over your head. But if a ministry comes to free you from that, you got to back away from the death sentence by calling yourself by another name than the name that the Almighty gave you. We're going to bring our elder in and get a closing statement on take number 99. Because like I said again, all the names that you call yourself and all these Bibles that you have besides the one Bible, he made it plain, Mother, be up Israel, in the verse called Isaiah, what he said that we can read in the book of Isaiah 34:16. What can we read in Isaiah 34:16? Start with Brother Micaiah in 12, verse 9, down to verse 14 of Ecclesiastes out of the record book. We're going to see if we hear something. We're going to bring our elder in and get his closing thoughts.
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Speak you out of the book of Yahweh and read, no one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth has commanded, and his spirit is, it has gathered them.
Is the only book you need is the book of Yahweh and read. You don't need no other book. The book of Yahweh's book have no. Then the wisest man in the world came and told you the rules and regulations, 12, verse 9 and 14. Now, watch what the wisest man in the world says pertaining to what you're doing and all these translations that you have and everything you're spending money for, everything but what Yahweh tell you to do, then a nigga with your meat. Now, let's see what we can read. 12, verse 9 and 14. What does it say there, Brother Micaiah?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 9 down to 14. Verse 9 reads, and moreover, because the preacher, polluted word for teacher, was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Verse 10, the preacher, polluted word for teacher, sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was aright, even words of truth. Verse 11, the words of the wise are as goad and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. Verse 12, and father, by these, my son, be a monster of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his Torah instruction, first five books of the Bible. For this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14, for Yahweh shall bring every work into judgment, which every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
And read verse 13 again. Look what he said. Look how plain he made it. Verse 13.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13. 13 reads, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his Torah instructions, the first five books in the Bible. For this is the whole duty of man.
You see that? You see how he made it plain? And look how plain that is. That's the whole duty of man. Fear Yahweh and keep the first five books. That's the whole duty of man. But man won't talk about his Sam Tugens. He won't talk about his Bill Gates, his Bishop Bible, his NIV, his New Study Guide books. He want my soul. He won't be a nigga with his meat. He's doing everything what Yahweh tell you to do. Fear Yahweh and keep the Torah instruction. That's the whole duty of man. You want to know how to get to the kingdom? Fear Yahweh and keep the Torah instruction. Now, what's the precept on that? Well, D.F. Israel gave the precept. The 19th chapter, verse 16 and 17 of Matthew. What's the precept on that? See, chase six anointed counts. The whole duty of man is to fear Yahweh and keep the Torah instruction. That's the whole duty of man. Yahweh came right back in Matthew 19, 16, 17 and pulled that same verse. Yahweh pulled it. He pulled what you just got there in. He just pulled it. Here you go, right here. Bring it, Mother.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and 17. Verse 16 reads, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Verse 17. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is Yahweh the Father. But if you will enter into life, keep the Torah instruction."
Now look at that. Look at all this money spent. All over with all these cemeteries. Huh? Grave. The whole duty of man, instead of going to these cemeteries, fear Yahweh, keep the Torah instruction. That's the whole duty of man.
The whole house.
And what did Yahweh say about that anyway, Mother, in 5 verse 7? Or the book of Jeremiah. What do you say about going to them whole houses?
Mm-hmm.
Besides the four letters. What do you say we can read in Jeremiah 5, verse 7?
Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 7. Read. "How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by them that I know Yahweh when I have fed them to the full. They then commit adultery and assemble themselves by troops in the harlot houses."
In the whore houses. They went to the houses to get spiritual guidance to the whole house. Now I'm doing all I can for this woman. I said, "Where you get this woman from, my brother?" "Well, she was swinging on the pole." "Swinging on the pole?" "Huh?" "She was swinging on the pole. Well, she do what I like on that pole." "You gonna try to reform her, brother?" "And you got, what about that problem?" See, and that's what we do. We go get these wicked men that's not a Yahweh man, and you pump all them babies in you, then you all out of pocket and say, "Hey, no man is no count now." But you ain't the one out there and got the wicked man, got all them babies pumped into you. See? Get all them babies pumped into you. Because you got to have guidance. And we try to guide you to stay away from these wicked men. Stay away from these wicked women. Sacrifice yourself to help your loved ones. Let the buck stop with you on your loved ones. They're going to fall in the same trend you're going to fall into. "Oh, ain't no man no count." No. If he ain't a Yahweh man, he ain't no count. That's the point. Let's bring our elder in and get the elder's clothing stopped. Here, we cutting the elder off. He not talking tonight. Go back to your ears. Huh?
It's all right.
Well, your radio station. Let's remember, be back on tomorrow night at 7:30. Be back on the radio at 7:30 tomorrow. We say that much. And We want to take a look at something that we can read in Jerem and Second Ezra chapter 2, verse 17, 19, and 26. Let's see what we can read there, young lion. Let's see what we can read in Second Ezra chapter 2, verse 17 through 19 and 26.
Book of Second Ezra. Chapter 2, verse 19 to 26.
17. Figure verse 17 down to verse 19 and 26.
Okay, and 26. Okay. Book of Second Ezra. Chapter 2, verse 17 down to 19 and 26. 17 reads, "Fear not, you mother of the children, for I have chosen you, says Yahuwah." Verse 18, "For your help will I send my servants Elijah and Jeremiah, after whose counsel I have sanctified and prepared for you 12 trees laden with diverse fruit." Verse 26.
He said, hold on, man. So he'll prepare you 12 trees. He said, listen. He said, get this thing right, because he prepared you 12 trees. That's what Ahab did. He said, Moses, listen, I prepared you 12 trees. Verse 26.
Okay. Oh, you don't want 19?
19.
19. And as many fountains flowing with milk and honey, and seven mighty mountains, whereupon there grow roses and lilies, whereby I will fill the children with joy. Verse 26. As for the servants whom I have given you, there shall not one of them perish, for I will require them from among your number.
Mm-hmm. So he says, what do you say in verse 17 again?
Verse 17, "Fear not, you mother of the children, for I have chosen you," said Yahuwah.
Who have you chosen, mother, dear of Israel? Who have you chosen in the 41st chapter, verse 8 down to verse 10 of Isaiah? Who have you chosen that we can read? He said, "Fear not, mother, I have chosen you." Somebody been chosen. Can we find out in writing who's been chosen that we can read? 41, 8 through 10. Isaiah,
chapter 41, verses 8 to 10, read. "But you, Israel, are my servant. Israel, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Verse 9. "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the chief men thereof and said unto you, Thou art my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away." Verse 10. "Fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Yahuwah. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness."
Mm-hmm. Let's go, Bumkai, let's go to the 49th chapter of Sirach, verse 10 through 16. He says, "Don't worry, Israelites." He said, "I'm going to help, because I'm going to send somebody to you." He said, "I'm going to send somebody to you. Give me 2:1 in Second Ezra real quick, that mother dear of Israel." He said, "I'm going to send somebody to you." Second Ezra 2:1.
Second Ezra chapter 2, verse 1. "Thus says Yahuwah, I brought this people out of bondage and I gave them my Torah instruction by my servant, the seers, whom they would not hear, but despise my counsel.
You hear that? You hear the man just say it? He said, I gave you what you needed. I gave you my Torah instruction. And I put it in the hands of my seers, but you wouldn't listen. Is that what the man said?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he said.
He said,
I gave you the Torah instruction. I put it in the hands of my seer, but you won't listen. Matter of fact, your seer is telling you now to get a dollar and a quarter book, and you won't even get it. You won't even get a dollar and a quarter book and put the numbers in the book. Call one of the six anointed camps. Give him a word. Receive a word with the precept. He won't even do that. Okay? You see what the man saying? Now let's see what he got written over there. And let's precept that to 7, verse number 7, Brother Micaiah and Zechariah. Let's precept that for a minute. We're going to precept what we just got through, what we're hearing. Now let's see what is Yahweh saying. We're going to precept that to Zechariah 7. And we'll pick up at verse 7. We'll pick up at verse 10. Time say. We're going to Zechariah, and we're going to pick it up. Let's see. See, you know, we'll give you these precepts to tie in. When he say something, you know, I'll be writing as quick as. But you know, you don't pay the order, no, never mind. And 7 verse 7 down to verse 14. Look what he say. Bring it. Zechariah 7:7-14. Listen to this. Now watch this.
Okay. The book of Zechariah. Chapter 7, verse 7 down to 14. Verse 7 reads, should you not hear the words which Yahweh hath cried by the former seer, when Jerusalem, polluted word for Yahdah, was inhabited, and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when man inhabited the south and the plain.
Hold that part. Did you hear the man just say it? How did Yahweh talk again? Mother, give me Acts 13:27. How did Yahweh spoke again? Look, you hear the man saying in verse 7. What is he saying? Read it again. 7:7.
The book of Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, should you not hear the words which Yahweh have cried by the former seer, when Yahdah, Jerusalem, polluted word for Yahdah, was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain?
Hold that part. So now you see how Yahweh spoke? When Yahweh has something to say to get to you, he spoke by the mouth of his former seers. That what he was telling Zechariah. Listen, I always have told the children of Israel something, but they got themselves, I'm waiting on him to tell me something. See, when I hear people say stuff like that, I already know that means you puffed up, you're not on the truth of the Bible. He don't work like that. That's how he works. And all you do is precept it to 1 verse 70 of Luke and come right back to mother in 13:27 Acts. Precept there to 1 verse 70. See, we just can't do the Bible. We want to tell our soul that Yahweh said something to me. I'm waiting to Yahweh show me the way. He's showing you the way by the mouth of 1 verse 70. This is what he says. Luke 1 verse 70.
Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 70 reads, as he spake by the mouth of his righteous seer, which have been since the world began.
That's how he spoke, y'all. That's how he spoke. The righteous seers are the one he spoke to tell you. Why you just don't understand that? Why you got to have somebody meeting you on one Thursday afternoon while you in a deep sleep somewhere? Why you got to go through that? Why can't you go through what the Bible's saying? And why you don't remember what he got written in 13:27 in the book of Acts? What did it say?
Book of Acts.
Mother D of Israel. What do he say that we can read in 13:27 the book of Acts?
Acts chapter 13, verse 27. For they that dwell at Yahdah Judah and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the seers, which are read every Sabbath day.
Wait a minute, hold on. You hear the voice of the seer when?
Every Sabbath day.
See that? Every Sabbath day. Now, what do that mean that we can read, Mother? We're going to the book of Luke. Let's see what we can read out of that. Luke chapter 4. He said you can hear the voice of the seer read every Sabbath day. Now,
yeah.
We're going to step that to Luke chapter 4 and look at verse 21. Now, 20 and 21. Luke 4, 20 and 21.
Luke chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, verse 20. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the ministers, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the temple were fastened on him. Verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Ain't that something? You the man is saying? What is he saying? Brother Makai, what are you saying? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 down to verse 33. What is he saying that we can read? What is he trying to tell us that we can read?
The book of Ezekiel. Chapter 33, verse 30 down to 33, verse 30 reads, also, you son of man, the children of your people still are talking against you by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that's coming forth from Yahuwah. Verse 31, and they come unto you as the people come, and they sit before you as the people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their mind goeth after their covetousness. Verse 32, and lo, you are unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear the words, but they do them not. Verse 33. And when this cometh to pass, no, it will come, then shall they know that a seer has been among them.
See, I don't know what you're going to be doing or where you're going to be driving the car. I might be just washing dishes. But sooner or later, you're going to recognize a seer is in the midst of thee. You know, I don't know what you might be doing. Might be out there sweeping your driveway, moving snow, moving grass with your lawnmower. But somewhere down the line, it's going to dawn on you. It's a seer in the midst of thee. And the seer's job is to do one thing, to know he's in the midst of thee. Malachi, Mother Dear of Israel, fold on to verse 6. The seer's job is to do one thing. And all you have to do is just look at the book, forget about the personality, and tell me in Malachi 4:4 to verse 6. Look around
Malachi
and see who fits this. Malachi 4:4 verse down to verse 6.
Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Verse 4 reads, remember you the Torah instruction of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgment. Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the seer before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, verse 6, and he shall turn the minds of the fathers to the children, and the minds of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Now, think about it. Who is telling you about get your family in order? Who is telling you these things that you're reading? Who is telling you about this Sirach 49, 10 through 16? Who's telling you about this right? Come on, Brother Mackay. Who is telling you about this right here in the 49th chapter of Sirach 10 through 16? Asking this question. Go ahead.
Book of Sirach, chapter 49, verse 10 through 16. Verse 49, I mean chapter 49, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and of the 12 seers, let the memorial be blessed, and let their bones flourish again out of their place. For they comfort Jacob.
Hold that part. Hold that part. What do you mean? Let their blood, let their bones flourish out of their place. What place they in? Let's put a precept on that mug, D.F. Israel. What place is the that their bones have come out of? Go to Isaiah 25. What are you talking about? Let their bones flourish out of their place. And see, that's what I keep telling you. When you put Luke 12:12 on tape, we know when you're ready. Because Yahweh was showing you how to tighten up his book. He'll show you what to do. Where is let their bones flourish? What are you talking about that we can read? Go to the 26th chapter and pick up verse 19 down to verse 21 of the of Israel. What are you talking about? Isaiah 26, 19 down to verse 21. Read it. Listen to this.
Isaiah 26, 19 to 21, verse 19. Your dead men shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise, awake, and sing you that dwellest in dust? For your dew is as the dew of earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead. 20. Come, my people, enter you into your chambers, and shut your door about you. Hide yourself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. 21. For behold, Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitation of the earth for their sins. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her sin, her slain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, who's telling you about that? That Yahweh is coming to punish the earth. Who's telling you these things? The Sunday pastors, the preachers, is they telling you Yahweh coming to punish the earth? Give me a precept, 28, verse number 8 of Jeremiah. Who's telling you these things? Who is telling you what Yahweh is going to do? Everybody telling you a lot of things. But who's telling you and showing you in the Bible what this man going to do? He going to come and punish the earth.
Yeah.
That's what he say he going to do. See, the seer is telling you what he going to do. Well, I don't like the seer because he always talking about you know, some killing in Israel. Look what it says in 28 verse 8. But Jeremiah must be of Israel. What is it say?
Jeremiah chapter 28 verse 8. The seer that has been before me and before you of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence.
He said, the seers of old, what they talk about, a lovely story, Mother dear, what story did the seers of old talk about that we can read out of that verse? What did they talk about of old?
Wars and pestilence.
Wars and pestilence. What is there anywhere that talks about war, pestilence, and all these things? Do we have a sitting seer talks about that? See? Sooner or later, you will recognize the seer of his book talks about the same thing that they talks about. Always pulling what they say. Huh? What they say. And they're repeating the same thing they've been told. See? So what do we say that we can read Brother Micaiah in the 30th chapter, verse number 8? Now pick it up, Mother. Think of Isaiah 30, verse 8.
Isaiah
30,
okay.
Verse 8.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8, read. Now go, write it before them in a tablet, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever.
You see that? You see the man saying, he said, go, he said, write in the book. What to be put in that book in 33 verse 10, same book, Isaiah 33 verse 10. What to be know so you can be clear about what to be there, 33 verse 10.
Isaiah chapter 33 verse 10 reads, now will I rise, says Yahweh. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up my stuff.
You see that? Now will I rise. Keep on going down. 11 out of verse 14. Listen good. Now what are you going to rise 11. For? What are you going to rise for?
Verse 11. You shall conceive shelf. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. Verse 12, and the people shall be as the burning of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Verse 13, hear you that are far off what I have done, and you that are near acknowledge my might. 14, the sinners of Yahda Judah are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning?
You ask me a question. Are you going to continue doing what you're doing? He said, what you end up with is everlasting burning. Verse 15, Brother Micaiah, pick up verse 15. Take it on to verse 19.
Verse 15, down to 19. The book of Isaiah, chapter 33, 15 to 19. 15 reads, he that walketh righteous and speaketh upright, he that despises the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hand from holding a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing the blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Verse 15. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rock. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Verse 18. Thy mind shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the tower? Verse 19. You shall not see a fierce people, a people of deeper speech than you can perceive, of a stammering tongue that you cannot understand.
Boy, you know, it'll take me all night long to break that down, and I ain't going to do it because I want to get a couple more verses in. Abba Micaiah runs through 66, verse 4. Before I say this, book right here, this book, I don't know why you put any time in that one I'm saying. When all this good book, all you got to do is bleed the Bible, and I'll say, but one ministry can teach at this magnitude, and that's Voices of the Jewish Life. Huh? We can tell you the story. That's why you got all the big dignitaries listening, taking notes, putting lessons together behind this ministry. Huh? Look what we were reading in 66 verse 4. See, we clear what's going to happen. Read it, Brother Micaiah. Isaiah 66 verse 4.
Oh, 56. Okay, the book of Isaiah.
66. Philip 66. The gas station. Philip 66.
Okay. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that end which I delighted not.
He said, I'm going to choose your delusion. He said, I'm going to choose your delusion. I told you the way that is written in this book. I told you the step to take. I told you don't be a nigga with your meat. I'm going to choose your delusion. I'm going to keep you wandering on what's happening. And I'm also going to come on back to Sirach again, finish that back up. And I'm also going to do some things in the book of Sirach. Is also going to do, but you're not going to see it, but somebody going to see it. So, right, where do you leave off on?
The book of Sirach.
What?
Chapter 49, picking it back up at verse 10. Verse 10 reads, and of the 12 seers, let the memorial be blessed, and let their bones flourish again out of their place. For they comfort Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and delivered them by the assured hope. Verse 11. How shall we magnify Zerubbabel? Even he was a signet on the right hand. Verse 12. So was Jesus, who polluted word for Hoshea, the son of Joseph, who in this time built the house and set up and righteous temple to Yahweh, which was prepared for everlasting glory. Verse 13. And among the elect was Neeman, whose renown is great, who raised up for us the walls that were fallen, and set up the gates in the bar, and raised up our ruins again. Verse 14. But upon the earth was no man created like Enoch, for he was taken from the earth. Verse 15. Neither was there a man born like unto Joseph, a governor of his brother, a state of the people, whose bones were regarded of Yahweh. Verse 16. Shem and Seth were in great honor among men, and so was Adam above every living thing in the creation.
Mm-hmm. So you see what he's saying? He's saying, see, you all supposed to bring back your heroes. Let's go to 44, verse 1 of the book of Sirach there, mother, dear of Israel. 44, verse 1 and 2 in the closing statement. We can't get at where we need to get at, but we'll get at 44, verse 1 and 2. Sirach, 1 and 2 in the closing statement.
Sirach chapter 44. Sirach 44, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, Let us now praise famous men and our Father that begat us. Verse 2. Yahweh has wrought great honor by them through his great power from the beginning.
So you see that? Let us praise great men, our forefathers. Let's talk about the great men of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Israel, the seers of old that's already back. And we'll show you exactly where they at and where they become in another lesson. But let us praise great men that we can read. Let's stop doing what we're doing. Let's praise great men, our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Close the day, Mother dear of Israel. Catch you on the top part of the Sabbath, eyeball to eyeball, you on the clock, come out.
Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Hallelujah, Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh, hallelujah, Yahweh.
Revelation chapter 4, 1 through 4, verse 6, 10, and 11. Brother Micaiah, what does it say? Revelation chapter 4, 1 down to verse 4. Get down to 6, 10, and 11. Excellent, Mother D of Israel. What can we read? Brother Micaiah, Revelation 4, 1 down to verse 4, 6, 10, and 11. Come on.
The book of Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, 6, 10 and 11. Verse 1 reads, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a dasher and a starting stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an elf. Verse 4. And round about the throne were
take it out, Mother D up here,
sir. I'm not even there, Phil. You said Revelation chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. Take it to verse 4, down to verse 6, 10 and 11.
Oh, let me see if I can make it there. Oh. Revelation. Okay. Don't let me get there.
Revelation. These kind of teachings.
Revelation chapter 4, verse.
Yeah, Latter-day Saints. We ain't doing what shooting a little prophecy on you. You ain't have to cut the young line off.
You said Revelation chapter 4, verse 4.
Yeah, pick up verse 4-4.
Okay, Revelation chapter 4, verse 4 reads, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 5.
Verse
and
six.
Out of
verse six,
and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind.
10 and 11.
Verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Yahuwah, to receive honor, greatness and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for your pleasure